Joining us on the Joe Show tonight, from WGN's The Outsiders, actress Tina Alexis Allen. Canadian movie writer Katie McKay. Dancer, actor, entertainer, and Steven Tyler enthusiast, Anthony Lawrence Yorfido. And music artist Richard Lynch. So do not go anywhere. This is The Joe Show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Joe Show. Joe Crawford here with you. We have a full packed hour, so we're going to get things started right off the bat. But first, you know, today's date is Wednesday, May 18th. And you know what Wednesday means?
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
Yes, it is hump day. Oh my gosh, I love that. You know, we have time. No, we don't have any time for nothing. No word, no fact, no headlines. We're going to get things started. So let's get to it. Joining me right now in studio, I was pleased to interview a gentleman who has a wonderful story. This is heartwarming. So take a listen to this. And we have a full show. Actress Tina Alexis Allen from WGN The Outsiders. Canadian movie writer Katie McKay. Music artist Richard Lynch. And this guy coming up right now on The Joe Show. And joining me right now is a local celebrity. And he has his mom with him as well. And, well, let me just say this. First of all, March 30th of 2016 and prior, Anthony Lawrence Yorfido, just a regular guy, works two jobs, does hip-hop dancing, loving life. Life is good. And then March 31st comes along, and you go to a medical clinic in Niagara Falls. And Anthony, tell me what happened before you got inside. What did you see outside of the clinic?
I saw a big, big stretch limo.
A big stretch limo?
Yes.
Okay. So, with this big stretch limo, what did you think?
I think Steven Tyler.
You thought Steven Tyler was even in there before you even knew?
No.
Oh, no. What did you think maybe beforehand? Why is there a limo there? Do you know why?
No idea,
right?
No idea.
Mom, do you know why there's a limo there or anything else?
No idea.
So you go do your regular stuff. I guess it's a regular day for you guys, right?
Yeah. No, we go there once a year just to get my support patios from work because I work at the casino.
Oh, okay. So perfect. Okay. So then you just go there and it just happens to be the same day you walk in and like you said, who was there?
Steven Tyler.
The Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
T-H-E, yes.
Oh Steven my gosh. Tyler. Okay, so Steven Tyler is there. Now, when you walk in, do you recognize him right away? You know it's him?
Right away.
You know it's him?
Yeah, because I saw his ponytail.
Oh, that's what gave it away.
Yes.
Okay, so are you a huge Steven Tyler fan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
The biggest.
What's your favorite Steven Tyler song?
Walk This Way and Sweet Emotion and... That's it.
Sweet Emotion Walk This Way. Awesome. And you actually do a little dancing and monologue with Walk This Way, which we're going to show on the video that people can go to the website and see and everything else. But, okay, so you're in. Now let's go back to the medical clinic here.
Okay.
You're at the medical clinic. You're with mom. You see Steven Tyler. What do you do?
I was freaking weird out. I was going crazy.
Yeah. Do you go to Steven Tyler or does Steven Tyler come to you?
Yes, come to me.
He came to you.
And he gave me the biggest hug. And I was sincere. Well, I was screaming. And Steven Tyler is here.
Yeah? And he asked you if you're going to his show.
Yes.
And were you going to his show?
No.
Why?
Because he had no tickets. We bought some tickets.
He was sold out. Okay.
And the best part.
We tried to get tickets, but it was sold out. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the best part, he says, you're coming to my show. I'll make it happen.
Really? Even though he sold out, he said, you're coming to my show.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get some pictures with Steven Tyler. Yes. And he's there, and you're getting to go see the show. You must be excited.
Yes.
Yes. So now you're going to go see the show. It's at the Falls View Casino in the Avalon Ballroom. And then you go, let's talk about going to the show now. So you get passes, backstage passes?
No, well, side stage.
Side stage passes. That's what we got here. The side stage passes here that you ended up having. And this is actually what?
The song list.
The song list that he performed
yes.
that night. Okay, we awesome. And show. Oh, look, I see he got Walk This Way on there as an encore.
Yeah, but...
So what did you what did you do at the show? You were on the side stage, but what did you do?
Well, we were on side stage, and then somebody coming to us.
Yeah.
And
what did Steven say?
What did he say? What did he do?
Coming with me backstage.
Come on stage. Okay, so what did you do on stage?
I played the maracas.
You played the maracas. Nice. Now, do you remember what song you played the maracas on?
Yes, I do. Sweet Emotion.
Sweet Emotion.
Yes.
So you're playing the maracas.
Yes.
You're there in the Avalon Ballroom
yes.
to a sold-out crowd.
Yes.
How did that feel?
$1 million.
Like $1 million. It was
yes.
amazing.
Yes.
Now, you also are a dancer, so you're not a stranger to
no,
entertaining in front
no,
of audiences.
No.
Nice. So then I even seen pictures, because you've done a lot of interviews on TV, on radio,
yes.
on newspapers. You're world famous,
yes.
right? You're from Niagara Falls, right?
Welland.
Oh, Welland. Okay, so from Welland, now you put Welland all over the world.
Yes.
Okay, because of doing this. And so he's even there, like, next to you and getting pictures taken and whatever else and singing Sweet Emotion
yeah.
and that stuff. So after that's all done, do you stay by the side stage the whole time and watch the show?
No.
You watch the whole
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
oh, you
watch
the whole show?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
watch
yeah.
the whole show. Then what happened after the show? Did you get his autograph or anything?
Well... I didn't meet him after the show, but I guess he probably left.
Oh, okay,
left
yep.
After the show, and I didn't...
And that was that. But you saw him all before the show,
yes.
you hung out
yes.
with him,
yes.
got
yes.
pictures taken,
yes.
and he's one of your favorite celebrity musicians.
Of all times.
Of all times.
Yes.
What did he say to you when you left the clinic, Anthony?
He
oh,
says, I'm not here for my black face, I'm here to meet my...
It's okay, yeah. Well, it's
okay.
It's emotional.
I'm here to meet I'm
here to meet my new buddy, Anthony Ruffino.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See?
He said that on the stage. Anthony's in the house.
And he said that in everything else. That is amazing. And for people who can't see on the radio here, that it is very emotional. Anthony's tearing up a bit, and that's okay. And that's good. It's good tears. Right? It's good
happy
tears.
Tears, yes.
And I know that you like him so much that we were talking off air that you and Mom are maybe going to go try to see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah? Where are you going to maybe see him?
I was going to see him in Nashville.
Yeah.
See him in Madrid.
He's playing Saturday
night
at one of the concerts we're going to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And now that he's doing country music, because that's what he's doing. He's now in Nashville.
Yes.
Right? He's doing country. Do you still like his country music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you like him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though he was rock star, you still like him as a country star?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm a big country fan.
Oh, you like country?
I love country.
Nice. Who are there other singers that you like?
Oh, like country?
Country or anyone?
Well, please, Gary Underwood.
What other singers do you like?
You like Michael Bublé?
Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Elvis,
nice. And I know that on Facebook and on the video that we're putting up on the website, on
yes.
JoeCrawfordLive.com through the JTV network, and then also through the radio station, that people can look at the bottom of the screen of the video, and it's a Facebook page that says, send Anthony where?
To Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Ellen DeGeneres Show. Is she your favorite lady? A talk show host?
She's pretty funny.
She is funny,
yes,
eh?
Yes, she is.
So
awesome.
We are going to try to get you to get on to Ellen and that. And maybe, you know, Ellen loves to dance.
Oh, yes, she loves to dance.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think I want you to dance for me if that's okay. Are you interested in doing that?
I'd be honored to dance.
Okay. So we're going to take a break from the radio show here. If people want to continue watching on and see Anthony do some dancing... which we're going to send right off to Ellen and get Anthony dancing to Ellen, and you can do the hashtag send Anthony to Ellen. We'll have to go to my website and watch the rest of the video and see you do some dancing, all right? Well, thank you very much, and I wish you all the best, buddy. Yeah, give me a high five. Awesome. I love this stuff. This is just great.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Hi, this is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Welcome back to the Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio, and joining me right now is Canadian movie writer, director, producer. She has a new short film that has already hit a few movie film festivals, and well, we are excited to have her with us, and she's probably excited to get them out even more so, but we have joining us Katie McKay. Hello, Katie, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And first of all, let me congratulate you on your third short film, The Fireflies Girls. The Firefly Girls, I should say.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now,
yes, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Now, tell me a little bit about how The Firefly Girls came about, because it was kind of to be like Edward Scissorhands in a way, or a parody like that, right?
Yes, actually, in the beginning, we were looking over a couple days ago. Yes, it was very much kind of more of a fairy tale. It was much more about two outsiders really getting together, and it was a young girl going up to what was almost like a castle, and really trying to break in and a friend in the town where she didn't have any friends. And I loved those drafts, and I had many people read them, and honestly, everyone loved them, but they kind of said, it's cute, but I don't know if it would leave a lasting impression, and I really, really wanted something to dig deep. So I talked it through with a few people, and we went through many options, and the character we see changed a lot. And we ultimately settled on a heart transplant, and it really helped kind of give a deeper story and really allowed for the character Gracie to explore more meanings and really, really get through to him on a level that a lot of people wouldn't.
So, I mean, as a director and writer, more so a writer of the film, you had one path you wanted to go. And as a writer, how do you take, the movie is great, don't get me wrong. And I mean, it's making great impressions at the film festivals, but at first, does that kind of tear you inside thinking, oh, this is what I really wanted, but this is the way it really ended up?
No, because I think I always start with concepts. I love starting with an idea that I just want to explore. And originally that idea had been two outsiders and getting to know each other on common ground. And as that evolved, I always want it to be personal to me. So I'm never going to take a note that just really isn't what I want. I got a few notes that, while they were great notes, it just wasn't me, and it wasn't going to be a story that really resonated with me.
It's doing great. It's been in a couple film festivals already. People can check it out online if they want some information on it. It's called The Firefly Girls Film. .ca to get some information and to know a little bit about Katie McKay, the writer and director of this film. And you mentioned about the little girl, there's a young girl that is in the short film, and the actress portraying that young girl is Savannah Paige Ray. And how was it with Savannah portraying the young girl that you're trying to have in the film?
Oh, it was amazing working with her. We were kind of in shock the whole time because anytime I'm writing something, I always keep an actor in mind. I mean, it's never in the hopes of actually getting the person, but it's more to see my words in my head.
Yeah.
And very early on, I had been binge watching Parenthood, which she did for the whole series. And she plays a character that is very similar to Gracie, and she played it so well. So the whole time that I was pitching this to people, I always said, picture Savannah Paige Ray from Parenthood. And it wasn't until we were fairly late on that we kind of went, we might be able to get her. So we were really, really lucky. She has an older sister, Emily, who really wants to direct. And so went over the information, they really connected with the idea that it was a female filmmaker who was trying to kind of get her name out there. And so they agreed to have her come in and meet with us. And so she came in and read. And just from, like, just from day one meeting with her, her questions were so intelligent and really allowed us to kind of pull back layers and then rebuild them and really explore this character on a different level, which is really amazing with a child. And she was a trooper, especially that there's an end scene that we filmed for a day where she's crying for the entire day. And she just nails it. Everyone was crying on set. Anyway, yeah, she's really special. And she's a joy to work with. Always wanted to push herself, and Mario Shugel, who's our lead man as well. But yeah, no, it was definitely a joy.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Katie McKay, we're speaking with, and I know are you still trying to get, I know you did two film festivals so far. Are you trying to get more film festivals under your belt with this short film, The Firefly Girls?
Yes, it is out to many, many more. So we're waiting to hear. And we would love to take it to as many film festivals as they will allow.
Awesome. Now, I know you've done three short films. You've directed and produced four. Is there anything in the works of planning or a goal of wanting to do a feature film down the road?
Yes, I would love to. We actually have been working on outlining this short as a feature.
Well, yeah, well, we wish you all the best and hope it does end up being a great feature film. I mean, it's already a great short film, and we can't see why not the other film festivals don't want to take this in. It's truly amazing. You have great talent yourself. You have great talent in the film as well. And again, the website is thefireflygirlsfilm.ca, and we wish you all the best, Katie. And when it comes out as feature film, or if you have some other projects, come back on the show and we'll get you back on.
Great, thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. And you too, thank you. And don't go anywhere, we're gonna be back after this here on the Joe Show.
Hello, this is Tim Conway, and whenever I'm in town, I listen to the Joe Show. I'm not in town that much, but if I ever come by that way, I'm gonna turn the radio on and listen to the Joe Show. So I don't know when I'll be in your town, but listen for me and listen for Joe, because he's so lonely.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
Hey, you're listening to The Joe Show, and I'm Jerry Springer.
Welcome back to the Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio, and joining me right now, I had to go online to look up this show, and it looks very interesting, and I'm very excited. Not only, though, is she a great actress, she has dabbled into everything a little bit. She's a basketball star, a fashion executive in New York City, philanthropy, an author, a playwriter, and we're going to be talking about all that stuff. But right now, from the biggest WGN record-setting show, The Outsiders, is Tina Alexis Allen. Hello, Tina. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you. I'm exhausted after all those hyphens.
you do so much, and I love it, because not only do you just focus on one thing, but if something is kind of on hiatus for a while, you can just go in and do something else.
It's such a wonderful thing. I mean, I love what I do, and I like to be busy. So, yes, hiatus isn't really a word that I embrace. I just move on to the next thing, happily.
So talk a little bit about, let's talk about Outsiders first. I know you had to go through auditions and all that stuff, and that's how you got the part. And you play Shern. I believe I'm saying it right.
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
The integral fiery member of the Farrell family clan. And so tell me about what happened. How'd you get that position? And also a little bit about Shern.
I was, you know, through my agent, I actually filmed it on my iPhone, believe it or not. I was in New York, and it was a very sort of fast audition that came up, and they needed it right away. And so I got it on my iPhone to the people in Pittsburgh, the director, and they gave me a call back, and then they said I could Skype the call back. Nice. You know, technology these days is amazing. And I said, no way, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. You know, I want you to see me, and I want to see you. And I just had a real good feeling about that character in terms of the kind of fit and what I could bring to it. So I was super excited to play Appalachian and to play somebody who didn't read or write, who lived off the grid. And she has a huge beginning. Her introduction is actually in episode 7 is where we meet Shern, and she just learns that her son has been killed. So emotionally, that was a big, big challenge. And I hold David Morse's character accountable. So I have a whole lot of conflict with him in season 1. And that's fun. David Morse.
It is, and I still haven't caught up to all the season of all the episodes yet for season 1. Season 1 just aired this year. You guys are going to be shooting later on this month in Pittsburgh. Season 2, that'll air later on in the year. But why do you think that us, the audience, is so drawn to this and loving this so much?
I think there are a couple things that are key. I think the first thing is that it is a interesting time in our culture where there's a lot of people feeling like outsiders, feeling a bit disenfranchised with their way of life or, you know, their economic situation, the social atmosphere right now. There are a lot of extremes. And, you know, I think on a base level, people, human beings just want to, you know, be free to be who they are and live freely. And I think the Outsiders is right at the zeitgeist of that conversation. We live on a mountain and we've lived outside and off the grid for our family well over 200 years. And then the townspeople below and the mining company and those that have an economic interest essentially want us off our mountain. And our mountain, in a way, is our God. You know, that is our livelihood, that is our life. And so it's really high stakes that we're being, you know, sort of pushed around and tried to be moved out. And so I think it sort of touches on that. And the acting is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
The ensemble is really terrific. I mentioned David Morse, Ryan Hurst, Phyllis Somerville, Jillian Alexi, Thomas Wright. I mean, there's just such a beautiful, talented group of people telling this story. So that helps.
Do you think, as yourself in today's world and how you are, Tina Alexis Allen, could actually possibly live off the grid, live on the outside, live on a mountain and survive kind of deal?
You know, I don't think that Tina Alexis Allen could. I have to say that, you know, on the one hand, you only know, what you know. And if I knew what I knew and someone gave me that choice, I'd stay put. I mean, other than traffic, I really like being in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I really love the magic of technology. I mean, who was it that said recently, you know, we're flying through the air in a tin can. And being able to text, you know, when we fly in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life is and I like all people. You know, I'm a people person, and I like to be around all kinds of people. And it's been safe for the Feral Clan, which is the name of our clan, to be amongst themselves. And I understand that, you know, their safety, their livelihood depends on that security, and I really get that. I grew up the youngest of 13, so I really understand clans.
Yeah, and try where did you fit in that in the 13? Were you whereabouts?
I am I am the youngest, so I really understand about defending myself.
Yes, and trying to get seen and even noticed, for heaven's sakes.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm used to going toe-to-toe with a lot of bigger people. So, you know, David Morris's 6'4 frame does not scare me. I have five very big brothers.
Well, along with him being tall, I mean, we're in radio. So, I mean, people can't see unless they actually look you up online right now. They can. And beautiful as you are and leggy, but you're also an avid basketball player. You got a lot of scholarships to college. Yes. Through basketball. And how did you go from basketball to acting? Because that's a big switch from sports to acting.
Well, it's interesting. It wasn't a straight line. I did get I was, you know, a basketball player my life. It was, you know, as a kid and into my college years. I actually had a scholarship to the University of Maryland. So that was sort of big time Division I basketball. And, that was like my whole existence. You know, I just was in the basketball on my hip. From there, I got a business degree and I was really into fashion. I always have been. And I went to New York and worked, as a fashion executive. And just about when I was almost 30, I had a bit of an epiphany. I had, had a lot of success, you know, at a young age. And that was wonderful. And I had a lot of stuff. But I think on a sort of soulful, more internal level, I felt there was something missing that I hadn't yet explored. And I just really on a whim, on a bit of a surprise insight, gave myself permission to ask myself, you know, what would I be if I could be anything? Like really anything. So I have all this stuff and life is fun and it's exciting and I'm almost 30 and that causes some questioning. I think it's a time in life where people look. And anyway, I asked the question and I don't know where it came from, but it was acting. And I took my first acting class. I walked away. I pushed my chair back from my desk at my big fancy office. And my family thought I was crazy.
Yeah. Acting. What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you thinking? You're what? And that was it. But you did mention, you know, acting and basketball. And I have to say that I happen to think there are a tremendous amount of similarities.
How so?
Particularly on the stage. I mean, if you think about, first of all, just the stage for a moment, but it's true on sets, film sets and TV sets. You know, when they call action for me, it's like they throw the ball up, right? Mm. It's like center court. They throw the ball up and you got to go. And there's not a lot of time to think, particularly in theater. It really is a live basketball game. You know, it's all about being in the moment. It's all about being present. You're not overthinking. It's reaction and action and reaction and action. And, you know, the most alert that I ever have been in my life, I think, is in a game and on a set or on a stage.
Right.
And you're working as a team. You know, it's not all about you. It's about the other person, and you don't win in basketball by yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe you're Michael Jordan or something, or Kobe once upon a time.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that I do think it serves me very well. And I think the discipline and the commitment to practice, and always practice, you know, it never ends, you know, the training never ends is what I mean. So yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities. So yeah.
You brought up a good point, too. We're speaking with Tina Alexis Allen, the star from Outsiders on WGN. You can catch your local listings to catch season 2 later on this year. And I advise you to go online, or maybe WGN will probably repeat season 1 encore episodes there. It's a good show that you need to see. And if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know where you are. You're probably living under a rock or on a mountain somewhere, but maybe you're off the grid. Who knows? And you're not even listening to the show. But with doing the Appalachian character, Shern, how did you do your research for this? Because, I mean, I know, and you do a wonderful job at it. And you, like I said, the whole clan, everyone on there is just perfect on the show. But how did you do your research on doing this? And how do you even research your other roles, too, what you do?
Well, I have a wonderful teacher who I've worked with, the famed acting coach, Susan Batson. I've been working with her since my first class. And, you know, some of the things that she's taught me in terms of character discovery is, you know, obviously you got to do all the the physical research, you know, what where is this place and what do they have access to and what don't they, and what's a day in the life like? And so I think that sort of first more physical exploration is key. I found Shern to be, as I look at a lot of characters, you know, I think about them as sort of an animal. If they were an animal, what would they be? And I think that creates a physical life that is very specific, so that every character that I play isn't, you know, the same person, or me playing somebody with an accent and just changing the voice or something. But it's a three-dimensional. We all walk and talk and speak and feel differently than one another. And so that's what I look for, the specifics through that. And then I was blessed to do a movie with Teresa Russell a few years back, and we actually shot in Mingo County, West Virginia. And I had the pleasure of going down into a world that I would never have gone on my own, you know, just wouldn't have been somewhere I ended up, and really was immersed in the hollers, immersed in the mountains. That character was Appalachian. She didn't live in the mountains. She was more of a coal mining advocate. And so she was, you know, different than Shern. But so I did have the chance, but been in Appalachia, and I grew up in Maryland, which I didn't grow up in the mountains for sure. But again, you know, that world, West Virginia, and the Appalachian Trail wasn't that far from me. So I've sort of peripherally been around it too as a kid.
Some personal experience got into it as well then.
Well, yeah, certainly the job down in West Virginia, that was the biggest help for me, because I could really go back into the people. Certainly I knew those townspeople. I don't deal with the townspeople in Outsiders. That's another sort of world, because I don't go off the mountain.
No.
But those townspeople, I felt like I knew. I did feel immediately connected to, so...
Speaking with the hit star of Outsiders on WGN, Tina Alexis Allen. She plays Shern, one of the Farrell clan members there on the off-grid show. And season 2 will be filming this month to air later on. You need to check out season 1. And along with doing Outsiders, you have written yourself an off-Broadway play. And I want to talk about that in just a second. But first, I don't know if you've read the headlines or anything else, and it's been a hot topic for a little while, that North Carolina, what's going on with their LGBT transgender rules and regulations there, and I know an artist refused to play there because of it, what they're doing there in the state. But you actually played a transgender role, and you were a male and a woman. This was a few years ago. And when you did that, was there big hype then, and were you getting any slack for it too, Tina?
Yeah, actually, it was quite a long time ago when I did that role. I'd say it's probably at least 15 years. It was one of the first. In fact, it was the first movie I ever did. So that was like a huge challenge. I did get slack. I mean, this was a long time before. Not only transgender rights were being discussed and you know, sort of talked about and in our world, but I feel like, you know, even gay rights weren't an issue at that point. You know, that was a long way from gay marriage, a long way from conversations about gay rights. So yes, playing that role, it was very fringe then. I mean, it was a long time even before Boys Don't Cry, which was a breakout movie about that subject matter. There was flack. I think the director as well had some flack, and certainly it didn't reach the mainstream audience.
Right. Yeah.
To say the least. But we did win a number of awards, and we, you know, they went that film circuit route and got a distribution deal. But yes, it was a really interesting time. And a scary time. I remember doing some research in New York, and I went to literally a tranny bar, as they call them, way on the west side of New York. I didn't know New York had that far of a west side before you fell into the river. But it was basically
it's the dark side
you could get. yeah, it was a rough neighborhood. And so I went to this tranny bar and found this really interesting world that I had never seen, of course, but wow, what an interesting thing. But, you know, what struck me was, in all seriousness, how isolated and segregated these people were, you know, that they really didn't have anywhere to be themselves. And, you know, North Carolina is what it is. And I think that when you do start taking a stand to segregate people in any way from each other, we're all too mature right now at this age. I think in our history in America, I think the masses are too mature to put up with that. So, right. You know, it may take some time, but I think we're on the right side of everything. And in the end, people just want to let each other, I hope, just, you know, be who they are, live and be who they are.
And be happy, you know, and everything.
And like, why would you want someone to be somebody else so you're comfortable when they're not happy being that person?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, and it's ironic too. Like, I know we joked how it's the west side of New York, the furthest west, and how we're talking here. All of a sudden, I got thinking it's outsiders again, but in a different kind of way of outsiders, because
totally.
These people
totally.
Are being outsiders as well. And Tina Alexis Allen with us, and an off-Broadway play that you're writing. Or that you've already written, and you're kind of looking for it to be released on Broadway at the beginning of 2017, I believe it is, and looking to even make it into a TV deal, is Secrets of a Holy Father. And this is interesting, too. It seems to be that, I'll let you tell more, but about the main character, the father, being gay.
Well, the Secrets of a Holy Father started actually as a off-Broadway play that I wrote as my father. So,
and you play your father.
So, yes, I do.
So you play a man as this as well.
I did. I played a man who happened to be my dad, and I wrote that story because I felt that my dad lived at a time where it was complicated and also really dangerous to be who you were. And so as a result, you know, he had a very complicated life. He had a lot of secrets that were not only about, you know, his, sexuality, but he had other secrets, work secrets, secrets within the Catholic Church, some of which I really can't get into because HarperCollins is publishing my book.
That's okay. No, we don't want, yeah, we want
yeah,
to get the book.
In
yeah.
early 2017, so out of respect for my publisher, it's going to be on Gay Street, which is one of their imprints at HarperCollins, and it's called Secrets of a Holy Father, and I've created a memoir, basically a coming-of-age memoir that deals with my father and myself primarily. The backdrop, my family, but about the age of 18 to my early 20s, when I was carrying a lot of my father's secrets.
Wow.
And trying to uncover sort of who he really was. And that's the gist of the book. And yes, I want to move, you know, do the show again once the book comes out,
yeah.
perhaps again off Broadway. But yeah, very, very challenging and satisfying and really helped me embrace my father as a human being as opposed to just my dad, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, oh, totally. I think it's because you were able to write it out, though, too.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, I you know, writing it first as a show from his point of view, because I didn't write the solo show with myself as a character. It was just him.
Right.
So it was his point of view, and that made me have to get out of my way and say, who is this guy? You know, what were his challenges? You know, and then I look at myself and I go, I'm of this age and I feel what I feel and I have my obstacles and my challenges. And then sometimes I can more easily go, oh, wow, when my mom was this age and my dad, oh, they must have had these kind of feelings too. You know?
Yeah,
we don't think that way when we're younger.
No, we don't. And I definitely hope that, because I don't want to make this go into that, I want to have you back on in the new year in our season 10 of the Joe Show and talk about when the book comes out and talk more.
I would love that.
And make that a whole show too, because I mean, that's just a whole other topic that could be, but I am happy and excited because I've only watched 6 episodes so far of The Outsiders that you guys are continuing on. And I mean, it would be silly if you guys didn't with the record breaking reviews and the viewership on WGN of The Outsiders, that you guys are still shooting season 2 and it'll come out later on this year too. So you do wonderful on that.
Yep.
And again, I want to thank you very much for being with us here on the show to talk with us about it. And I'm looking forward to having you on again in the future.
I would love to come back on. It's been so much fun to talk with you. Thanks for having me on. And you can follow me at Tina Alexis Allen.
At Tina Alexis Allen, and it's A-L-E-X-I-S as Alexis, and Allen, A-L-L-E-N. Don't make the same mistake that I did the first time I researched. I did Allen with an A-N. That's the Canadian version. It's the American version. It's the right. E-N. So again, thank you very much, Tina, and all the best.
Thank you. All the best to you, too. Talk again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
Hey, this is Rhonda Sykes, and you're listening to The Joe Show. I make it.
I was driving, it was raining, on my way to bring her roses. When I got there, she wasn't there alone. Oh, it tore my world to pieces to know we'd never be together. So I said goodbye and headed off down the road. I couldn't see for the tears had rained. I heard the crash and I felt the pain. And my life was over just like that. But I'm in a better place. No more tears on my face. Up here above the clouds, I can see clearly now. She was my reason for living, and after all the love I'd given, I never dreamed I'd die with this heartache. Oh, but I'm in a better place. Now she's standing there crying like she's dying. Hold me. Too bad she waited too late. I spent most of my life just trying to make her love me. I can't believe what it took to finally make her look my way. The preacher man sends up a prayer. The organ music fills the air, and a choir sings as they carry me away. But I'm in a better place. No more tears on my face. Up here above the clouds, I can see clearly now. She was my reason for living, and after all the love I'd given, I never dreamed I'd die with this heartache. Oh, but I'm in a better place. Ooh.
Welcome back to the Joe Show on Home Times Radio. When you just heard right there a new single by, I gotta tell you, the first time I heard this, he made me get goosebumps. I loved it. We're gonna talk with him in just a minute. Richard Lynch, RichardLynchBand.com. But we just heard A Better Place. It received Album of the Year last year, and Richard is with us right now. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Joe. Thanks for having me, sir.
Oh, no problem. And I have to say, when I first got this song from Michael from MTS Management, the first thing, and I don't want to compare you to anyone because you're actually, I think, better, and I never heard you before with A Better Place, and I'm not using pun on words on that, but the first thing that came to my mind was Picture in Birmingham, or a picture Me in Birmingham, or something like that, by Tracy Lawrence. You ever heard that song?
Oh, I love that song.
And I said, this guy sounds just like the singer, if not better. And I had to look it up, and it's Tracy Lawrence who sings it. And then I actually listened to the Paint Me in Birmingham, and I'm like, no, you know what? Richard is a lot better than Tracy, and it is so smooth. And that country feel, it is just wonderful, A Better Place. And you put me in a better place listening to it, and hopefully our listeners too.
Well, thank you. I love the song. I love the response it's been getting around the country, and folks like you that are playing my music, I appreciate it so much.
Well, you've loved country. You actually are the kind of the epitome of a country artist. You live on a farm. You are raising. I don't know, what are you raising on your farm, first of all?
Well, the phone's breaking up a little bit, but you know, I love country music. I love having the ability to play guitar. I want to be known as a traditional artist. People that hear my music, they can reflect and think about a better time when the music wasn't quite as mechanical as it is today. So I really want to make sure that I have a really rootsy type of sound. Any music, but it's kind of sound from earlier in our country music life. That's kind of the way I want to structure it.
You want to experience with the living style, and you are living the style because you yourself right now are living on a farm. You're an American farmer.
I am. I raise hay and got some quarter horses and some paints. And my wife, she loves her donkeys, and so we have some livestock here on the farm. That's been something I've been growed up all my life around, and I really enjoy that lifestyle. I just want to be part of something that I sing about. You know, I live the country life. I love the country music, and so everything I do is the real McCoy. We don't act anything. We just kind of live the songs that we play.
Well, and as you're saying that too, I'm thinking, Richard, that an American farmer raises hay and a Canadian farmer raises A, because we always say A. But anyways, so that was just a lame joke. But speaking with Richard Lynch, RichardLynchBand.com, go to his website. He's performing pretty much all throughout Ohio this month. And growing up, Richard, did you grow up on a farm yourself? How did you get into the love of country? Was it brought on by your parents?
Yeah, well, my dad is was a well-established country musician, and I was born and raised on a 100-acre farm in southwestern Ohio. So I knew at an early age that, you know, what hard work was about and all the chores and responsibility. And I also got to be around something that I wouldn't take nothing for. My dad was a great country singer, and he played with a lot of folks of his era. You know, he played with Bobby Bear and Glenn Campbell and Porter Wagoner, and I can go on and on to the wonderful people that Dad played with.
Wow.
So I was fortunate to be around that kind of environment. And I remember at a real young age, you know, my dad was performing up here in Dayton, Ohio. I think I was 7 or 8 years old, and I got to go to my dad's outside show. And here I am watching my dad perform with all these people that I watch on TV. And I was just so mesmerized and so intrigued with that great country music that, you know, I was a bit early, you might say, with the bug, to where I had to perform that good country music.
Now, I mean, with your dad being so fortunate, singing with all these greats and that stuff, and you being able to grow up with these great country artists, And I mean, that kind of what country is known for. And I know you love like Conway Twitty and all that stuff. Have you been able to perform with any big stars yourself, like?
Oh, yeah. I've played with Keith Whitley, and I've played with Shenandoah, and I've worked with a multitude of stars. I mean, just recently we worked with David Frizzell, and I'm constantly doing things with Confederate Railroad, just to mention a few folks that we work with. And so, yeah, we're involved with these wonderful artists, and, you know, they tend to play the traditional sounding country music that I love and want to, you know, preserve and want to keep the tradition going. So those kind of folks are the folks that I like to play with. And I've been very fortunate to be around a lot of them folks and have became friends with them.
Speaking with Richard Lynch, richardlynchband.com, the website, to spell it properly, is richardlynchband.com. And a better place is the album of the year of last year, and that's the first full album.
It's our very first album that we've had a lot of success with. We've had a couple albums now that we have put out there on the scene, but this album has really exploded for us, and we're very, very proud of it.
We heard earlier, before we were able to talk with you here, when we came out of break, A Better Place. But what else can we experience or listen to when we hear A Better Place?
Well, when you hear A Better Place, it takes me to, you know, the music that makes you have goosebumps. When you hear a song, it's such a rarity for me to hear a song anymore that it absolutely connects with my emotions. And, you know, when you have your hair stand up on the back of your neck and you get goosebumps on your arm, you know there's a great country song you're listening to. And it's such a rarity anymore to have that. And I'm so fortunate to be able to, you know, to claim this song as mine and have it, you know, perform these songs night after night and see these folks, you know, make their connection with me and see these folks, you know, really, you know, tell me how much they love that traditional sound. And everybody can come to their own conclusion what that song does for them. But to me, it's just great country music. And country music comes from the heart. Country music is something you don't write. You feel country music. And that's why people like to connect with this good song.
Now, and it's interesting you say that, too, because I definitely felt that feeling, that emotion. Like I said, when I talked to you about when I came out of the song, like my hair was standing on the end of my arms. It was just that great. I really enjoyed it. And now, A Better Place is the album. And with that, people can buy that where?
Well, you can buy that at richardlynchband.com. Go to my website, and you can purchase all my music on Reverb Nation. There's a multitude of different, social media sites there that my music is on. But if you go to richardlynchband.com, it gives you all the direction where to go to pick up and buy my music.
Perfect. And then talking about social media, you're on Facebook as well. And are you on Twitter?
I think so. My wife does most of the social media. I'm more of the farm boy type of guy, you know, guy that drives a tractor and beats the horses. So she handles a lot of that for me.
Very good. Well, I'm going to guess too, and I probably know the answer because being the farm boy you are, and probably the farm would be the answer. Is that Richard Lynch's Better Place? Where's your better place to go to?
Well, you know, I love the farm way of life. I love the agriculture way of life. And as much as I get to, you know, to travel, and I love that more than anything, we play all over the country these days. And so, yes, I love that more than anything. But to be able to come home to my farm and look out there and see the two dogs running across the field and the horses out there, you know, that's a real special way of life for me. And I've worked really hard to get to this point, and so yeah, that is a better place for me. I definitely can appreciate having the farm and the home to go to. That's for sure.
RichardLynchBand.com is a website to check out. And, Richard, I don't know. I know we've mentioned quite a few greats and between your dad and yourself that you got to play with. And this artist sticks out in my mind because we just lost him not so long ago, about a couple months ago now. And he kind of fits in that category, too, is Merle Haggard. Have you ever been able to encounter or have a story of Merle Haggard? Or did he mean anything to you of his music, too?
Merle was probably one of my largest inspirations. I never got to perform with Merle, but I went to a concert years ago, and I waited in line almost 3 hours, and I stood in line so he could sign my hat that I bought and some merchandise from him. And I want you to know, he stood there and talked to everybody. I was so blown away at how humble he was, and I would have done it. I would have probably waited 6 hours, but I actually got to shake Merle Haggard's hand. You know, to meet a legend like that and to be around someone like that was well worth it. I would do it in a heartbeat. He was such a well designed and a well mannered gentleman too. He really loved his fans.
Richard Lynch, we wish you all the best. I know you're traveling this month throughout Ohio and throughout the rest of the year, all over the across the United States. Ever been up here to Canada?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have some dates coming in Toronto. It's coming up in Eastern Canada, Ontario, Toronto, which would be in the spring of 2017. So that's to be announced.
Nice. All right. Well, when those get announced or when you're closer to the date of performing, let us know. We'd be glad to have you back on again. You are a truly talented countryman, and I just love the style of music. I do love that old country, and you make us be in a better place, as I can say, with your album and your song, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next week.